This is the sound of second chances. It's more than a bowl of pet food. It's nutrition that changes lives. It's the sound of healthy, happy pets. Not just in your home, but in shelters across the country. Because feeding your pet Hills helps feed shelter pets. Science did that. Hills Pet Nutrition. Buy the bag that gives back. Visit hillspet.com/giveback or tap the banner to learn more.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All right, so what we just read there out of Leviticus chapter 20, he makes it very clear that not only are the men that sacrificed, those people that sacrificed their children, but the people that did nothing to stop it, they're just, they're blood guilty also. God said he would cut them off. Now, again, today in America, hear what is taking place. For example, the wickedness, the level of wickedness that we've come to today. These protesters that are out there, these Hamas protesters out there, about 80% of them are these young women, and the other 20% are the worst excuses, the poorest excuses for males that you've ever seen. I mean, and here's what they're demanding. They're demanding now that the taxpayer provide them with, what is it, John? Halal? The food that the...
They want special food, like gourmet.
they want under the standards of Islam. Was it halal? I think it's halal.
Yeah.
Okay.
These schools are providing gourmet food?
No, they want... This is what they're demanding. Now, here's what else they're demanding. They're demanding the morning after pill because they're sleeping together, and these women are using sex, these girls, the college girls, are using sex to recruit these poor excuses of males, okay? And now they're demanding also that they have they get free STD tests and treatment for
their... That's correct. You're absolutely right.
This is specifically for the rioters?
Yeah. Yeah.
My gosh.
So now they've degenerated. This is what the Democratic Communist Party is all about. This is Joe Biden. This is Kamala Harris. This is what these people are about. Now, here, this pacifist preacher says, well, we should, he quotes out of 1 Timothy 2, to pray for those in authority. Well, we do pray for them. You know, how did Jeremiah pray for the wicked that were in authority? He prayed that God would remove them, okay? And I would say that Jeremiah was quite a prophet. Now, Isaiah would do the same thing. Now, how do we pray for these wicked people? Well, we pray that God would bring them to repentance unless they burn in hell forever, okay? But if they refuse to repent, like Joe Biden, then we ask that God would remove them, that he would cut them off. Now, why do we want him? Because we want vengeance, and we're those little prissy preachers. They think that we're such big, bad Baptist people. No. It's because the damage they're doing to the children, the pedophilia, the wickedness out there, and hear what this pacifism, what it has done, these preachers that have failed God, because they didn't have the courage to run to the battle. They didn't have the courage. And again, these that will always tell you, well, you should just pray for them and seek this time of peace and quiet. They've never been out there. They've never been arrested. They've never been had to go face to face and to rescue children. We've rescued a lot of children. We had to do that, okay? No, they lived that quiet and peaceful life. But what does he tell you? Turn to Matthew chapter 25 in your Bible. There. In Matthew chapter 25, start there I'll get there in just a minute. In Matthew 25, right? No, that's not it. It's one more page over. Okay, Matthew 25. Well, still not there. No, I'm there. Okay. Aaron, start with verse 31.
When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto you? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me.
Now keep reading.
Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they all also answer him, saying, Lord, when we saw we thee and hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto you. Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal.
Now, there's a mindset there. You notice that he preached more on sins of omission all through Scripture than sins of commission. There's a mindset out there today that you hear these little quips, you hear these sound bites, so many people that, and people you'll, and I've watched people not in agreement, where, well, you hear people say that, and this fellow says that you won't find it anywhere where God hates anybody. Now, you'll find it if you go to the Word of God, Richard.
There's a number of places where God hates different people. Isaiah 61:8, the Lord hates robbery. Amos 5:15, hates evil and loves the good. And then the Zechariah, let me turn to Zechariah 8, 16 and 17 tells us clearly. I should have Zechariah right on my, it's one of my grandchildren's names.
Well, the fundamental issue is God.
These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. And let none of your imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor. The Lord, and love no false oath. For all these things that I hate, saith the Lord.
Yeah, God hates sin.
There's a lot of scriptures that talk about God hating things, so these evils and that.
All right, well, turn to Romans 9, Aaron. Turn to Romans chapter 9 in your Bible. And so,
the fundamental principle is God hates sin. His character doesn't change. Murdering people or innocent children, which is worse because they're innocent, is always going to be wrong.
Okay, turn to Romans chapter 9 and read me verse 12. And verse 12?
It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, and it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid.
All right, so now if you go to Malachi chapter 1 and read verses 2 and 3, again, you'll hear that repeated. But now, the Bible says what? It says God hates all of those that commit iniquity. God hates all of those that commit God hates the hands that shed innocent blood. Okay, the hands of those, okay, whose feet run, are swift to run to mischief, okay? And so many places throughout the Bible does he say that. So
In the Revelation 2:15 talks about hating the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Do I hate, he says.
Yeah, what things did I hate? But now, yeah. I was referring specifically to people that, you know, because they'll say that God loves everyone. No, God doesn't really love everybody, okay? You see, and there's a good reason for that. I just read to you there, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, here, you have all of these other little things like these sound bites. Where the Bible, remember, you've heard, the Bible says that we are to hate the sin but love the sinners. Is that what the Bible teaches? We're to hate the sin but love the sinner? Or does the Bible teach that we're to hate what God hates and love what God loves? Are we are to be conformed to the image of the modern-day preacher, or are we to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ?
Image of Christ. No question about it.
So, in his word there, can we say yes, that we have full faith that this King James Bible is inerrant, we have God's unchanged word?
Absolutely, Pastor Ernie. And as you know, I spent thousands of hours debating the Jews, the anti-missionaries, the Muslims, and many, many others. And I used the King James, never let me down, Pastor Ernie, never. It's burned deep into me. I'm in awe of the King James Bible.
Well, I am too, because John, as you know, and as Richard knows, over the years, many times I end up in court for preaching the gospel out there to the sinners, okay? And when I'm the only one charged, I can defend myself with my own venue. And I can use, and only the King James Bible. When I take this and they say, what sovereign nation has declared that as a book of law? I can say, King James of England, 1611, this is a book of law. It's the only Bible, version of the Bible that you can use. And most countries in the world still allow today, but that'll probably change soon, for us to use this here authorized book of law, God's Word, the King James Bible. And I've defended myself, and I can tell you this. It takes no more than 15 minutes of the Word of God in those courtrooms, and they just want me out of there. They just want me to leave and take that Bible with you, okay?
And so, Pastor Ernie, a very good friend of mine was arrested for preaching out in the street, and he was defending himself. So he brought the Bible, the King James Bible, with him. And they wouldn't let him use it. This was in New York. They said that he could not make reference to the Bible, and they took it away from him. So he really knows the word. So they were asking him things, and he started to quote the scriptures, and they had to let him do it. He was quoting it without the Bible, and they had to let him do it, and you're absolutely right. They couldn't get him out fast enough. But I think the judge dismissed the charges and they got him out of the courtroom.
One time I was in a court I came to as a defense of one of our men who was set up by a corrupt prosecutor. And by the way, that prosecutor, this guy, he'd been involved. I had a lawyer friend of mine who was the head of the Lawyers Guild. And I asked him to find out all he could about this corrupt prosecutor who laughed, and he said that he liked persecuting Christians. He thought that was funny. And I said, what did you say? He said, I like persecuting. I said, you're going to regret that. He said, I don't care. I said, listen to me. Pay close attention. You're going to care. So what I did is I got the, this guy was actually, he was involved, okay, in representing as a lawyer both a husband and a wife in the same divorce case. Okay.
Oh my goodness.
Not only that, but he was also had owners in a whorehouse where they were using, you know, it was an actual whorehouse, and he got caught. And so he had to, he was brought before the, was it not the Ohio Supreme Court, whatever the lawyers guild of there is, but anyhow, so this friend of mine,
the Bar Association,
yeah, this friend of mine got all the evidence, and I went down, and they were on the town square, they were politicking. It was the time in the primaries. And so I had all of these flyers made up with all of that, his what he was charged with. And I went and I stood in front of his office, and he comes out. And he said, what are you doing? I said, I'm handing these out. He said, well, what are they? I said, look, read it. And I handed it to him, and he screamed. He just lost it there. And he immediately pulled himself out of the race. And so... there you go. But you have
to. What happens when you bring light to darkness, Pastor Ernie?
Yeah, that's what you have to do. I eventually.
The pacifist would tell you, "Oh, just pray for them, and that's okay. Just do that." That's not what the prayer. Prayer has to be an action.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know, if we're hungry, we don't lock ourselves into the closet and pray for a hot dog. We go out and do some work or something to get our food.
You know, what he said, though, you just talked about Samuel. Who did Samuel hack up?
Samuel. Agag.
Right. Now, here, this pacifist fellow said that you won't find, I'm sure you won't find God out there sending an assassin. Well, what do you think Samuel was? Okay, now, but let me ask you this. If you go over...
Well, they were under a different covenant.
Well, if you go to...
But that doesn't mean you don't get involved in politics.
If you go to the book of Judges, for example, and you read in the book of Judges, you'll find out in Judges 3, 12 through 30... that Ehud, God sent Ehud, the judge, to assassinate Eglon, the king.
Is that the fat guy that he stabbed?
The fat guy, right.
And it went to the, most of the sword or dagger.
Well, went to the dearth, right, okay. And again, what happened? What did God do in Ezekiel 28 with Ethbaal? Remember, Ethbaal said... he had his fortress up on top of the mountain right there where all the seacoast was. He said, I am a god. I'm a god. Go ahead, turn to Ezekiel chapter 28. Now, Ethbaal was Jezebel's nephew. And so Ethbaal declared himself to be a king. In fact, the Lord, here's one of those few places, John, in Scripture where God chides, where he did, like he did over in Psalm 2. And here he's chiding Ethbaal. Go ahead and read, start with verse 1 in Ezekiel 28.
The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord of God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a god. I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man, and not God. Thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel.
See, he's chiding him here. He's chiding him. He's saying, behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. Now, Daniel was known to be one of the wisest men there. Him and Jeremiah were contemporaries, and Jeremiah referred to the wisdom of Daniel. But go ahead.
There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten the riches and hast gotten gold and silver into the treasures.
Trafficking.
by the great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches.
Now that traffic, listen, he was involved in slavery, human trafficking, what he was involved with.
Isn't this the prince? So the prince of Tyrus is, what's this, what was the name?
Ithabel. Ithabel was the grandson of Baal.
So this would be the, this is a dual meaning, is because it's also about Satan, right?
Yeah, well, now if you keep reading, now see, he is the prince, of Tyrus, but now the king of Tyrus is Satan himself. If you'll read on, you'll see he's being influenced by Satan himself, is influencing him for, if you start in about verse 11 or 12 there, where Satan is the king of Tyre.
Is Tyrus the same as Tyre?
Yeah.
Well, this happened during Alexander's day, right?
Yeah.
Because that's so, when it was prophesied.
Well, actually, no. He sent, when he sent, he sent in the Chaldeans. God sent Chaldeans to assassinate Ithabel. Okay, and
that was the first siege, right?
I believe so.
Because then, wasn't it during Alexander the Great? They took the stones and then made it a literal bridge from the bricks of the wall, or the stones of the wall.
It took a while,
created,
but they
a causeway.
Yeah. Okay, so now what do we have here? This pacifist fellow, he says, you won't see God sending an assassin, and yet we see right here God sending an assassin. We just saw three examples of that. Now, are we going to judge God? There was another assassin, and that was a lady that drove the spike right through.
Deborah.
Yeah. No, it wasn't Deborah. It was...
The judge Deborah. Right?
No, she was not. It was... I'm trying to think of... It's in Judges. But it wasn't Deborah that drove the spike. It was the wife of...
Jael. Wasn't that...
Yeah, it was J.L. And anyhow, again, that was another example. And there are others in Scripture, too. And so when you've seen that, remember who he sent to do in first Jezebel's son, and then after Jezebel. But now, so again, we see these things, and people make these statements, and everybody looks and they nod their heads in agreement, like they're, but it's not the Word of God. Are we going to, like he said, Paul was saying in Romans 9, so you're going to judge God? Are you going to judge God? I mean, you're telling me that God doesn't have, that God is out of place when God says that Jacob he loved, but Esau he hated? Is God out of place? Lord forbid, is what... Paul says so, but we want to be accurate in Scripture, okay? Now, we're not to be conformed to the world, but to conform to the image of Christ. And so, here now, I want to go back to what has pacifism given us? Let me tell you, no place has our Lord been more dishonored. Where does judgment begin? Where does Peter
the
say?
The house of the Lord.
And in that house, where does it begin? In the pulpit. It begins in the pulpit.
Then with the individual.
That's right. And so when he referred to those in Isaiah 56 as those pastors as dumb dogs too afraid to bark. Dumb dogs too afraid to bark. You just read there that you have these hirelings today. Had the pastors did what they were should have done, had they had the courage, back in 62 when God was expelled from public school, they had the responsibility. It was there to march on Washington, D.C. John and Richard, when Scripture says we're to be salt and light, what does that mean?
Preserving. Salt preserves, Pastor Ernie.
All right.
And light shines in darkness.
So does that take action?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah,
so we have to take action, and if they outlaw something that God has commanded us to do, then we do what God says.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And let me tell you something,
Pastor,
folks.
Pastor Ernie, a lot with abortion is the reason they're not acting is they really don't see it as a living baby. Hopefully the church would respond more if they were executing 5-year-olds and things like that, 3-year-olds. But I think it's just because of not recognizing that in the womb it's still created in God's image and likeness. Children.
I'm not sure the church would nowadays because, well, the actual church.
Have they been doing some abortions in 9 months?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, now, so, yeah.
California.
I mean, you can't deny that that's absolutely, totally formed. And
California is like 10-something days after
the womb.
It's much worse than that. You actually have these women today that are breeders. They actually get pregnant on purpose and carry the child because they get paid a large amount of money for that child. They'll deliver that baby full term, and they'll take that baby, and they'll use it for experimentation. Often they'll take body parts, organs. That happens a lot more than people realize. And we've broken a number of stories. We've talked about that. Planned predators, the most wicked, evil, ungodly, unclean, creeping, crawling purveyor of death on the planet. Thank God that Missouri just yesterday defunded Planned Parenthood. That's the third state now to defund Planned Parenthood. And we need to do that here in Ohio, too. But
yes, Pastor Ernie, one thing I'll never forget about abortion is New York State, when their legislature what they did was revoked all pro-life laws, all.
Yeah.
And protecting the baby up to birth was removed, and Cuomo, who was the governor, signed it. They had like this party. It was clapping and cheering.
It was that the floor like
hooting and hollering. It was the most wicked, diabolical thing. The looked like the whole New York government was rejoicing and reveling, and they just passed a law for no protection for babies in the womb.
I know. They're wicked. That and I know. Remember, we prayed precatory prayers against
that. We did, Pastor Ernie. We did pray. Yes, we did.
They were wicked. They're evil. Now, these prissy preachers are telling you, well, now you're just supposed to love them and maybe pray that they'll change their ways, okay? Now you're supposed to rescue those being led to slaughter and drawn to death. And the Bible says, go to Proverbs 24, read 10, 11, and 12. See, I'm having him do that because everybody out there knows I can read. I've been doing it for years, so we want to make sure they know that everybody who attends our church can read. And so
it's Proverbs what?
24, verses 10, 11, and 12.
Eric's now, a good reader, so.
Yeah. And this, 10 through 12.
If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it, and he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it, and shall not he render to every man according to his works?
So what does that say? The day that you stand before the Almighty and he says, what were you doing? What were you doing when they were killing my babies?
I've gone a couple times and prayed at the abortion mill.
What is the only acceptable answer? The only acceptable answer is all that I could to stop it. That's the only acceptable answer.
Well, in our society, it translates to, here's a simple question. Which politicians support pro-life? So vote for them. Vote the Bible. And then that should be really convict a lot of hearts of many believers who are supporting Democrats.
Well, that would
because
be.
Most Democrats support abortion, if not all of them, correct?
Yeah, but you see, you have to, that's kind
and then
of
the next step
it's about 100% now. Maybe 98 or something, but it's pretty close to 100%.
Yeah, that's something every listener out there, if you're supporting Democrats, think about
that.
Did
you
claim to be a Christian?
We have a uniparty out there. That Green lady, that Marjorie Taylor Greene, she was right on. I listened to her the other day, and I agree with everything she said about what would have happened. Johnson could have defunded. He could have defunded the Planned Parenthood. He could have defunded these people out there, the Merrick Garland,
Jack Smith.
Yeah, those that are persecuting, and every day they keep persecuting.
Soros funded. Yeah.
Right.
Letitia James, the other two, Fannie Willis and Alvin Bragg.
Bragg, yeah.
He backs all of them. And it's our taxpayer dollars, so yes.
Yep, okay. Hang tight, we'll be back right after this.
We've got a squirrel problem at the church. You can see those crazy critters everywhere. They're running up the aisles and under pews. Let's call a meeting and find out what we've got to do. Brother Jake came to the meeting with a gun. Let me at him, he said, I'll shoot everyone. Sister B said, no, no, that would be too cruel. How could we face the kids next week in Sunday school? She said, we'll put them in a cage, that's what we'll do. We'll take them to the woods and let them loose. But them squirrels were way too fast for us to catch. They've outsmarted us, that's all there is to it. We've got a squirrel problem, it's a fact. We run them off, but they keep coming back. But since they've been here, them squirrels have really grown. Pretty soon they'll want to preach and sing a song. For this squirrel problem, we needed pros. So one day we finally called in pest control. We said we'd pay them double for their time. They gave up and laughed at us and waved goodbye. The pastor never said a word, not for a while. He stood up and said, I got it, and he smiled. Why, it's so simple, now I know what must be done. We'll sign them up as members, they'll come back just twice a month. We've got a squirrel problem at the church. Lately, I've not seen them around here. I've got the smartest pastor I have ever known. He preached to them on tithing, and now all them squirrels are gone. We had a squirrel problem at the church.
All righty, very good. And we have a...
Hey, Pastor Ernie.
Yes, sir.
Was he singing about you?
Yeah, I think he was.
You had a couple squirrels get in there, huh? And you preached them out.
Yeah. Yeah, over the years, I have had a number of them. Richard knows that.
Amen.
But here, I know. I wanted to say, I wanted to remind the folks out there listening that Sunday morning Bible study. We're gonna be doing the newsletter while I'm preaching the Bible study. You guys need to be putting that newsletter together. We got to get it out now. This fellow that was preaching this pacifism, he was speaking, well, not really not real nicely, of the black-robed regiment. I want to read just a couple, you know, a little bit. I've got 100 of those in the black-robed regiment. These were all men of God, all pastors, and they led the... I'm going to read, starting with one. One of my favorites is a guy called Naftali Daggett. And he was a professor of divinity and the president of Yale College. And it was another distinguished clergyman who was as illustrious for his patriotism as for his theological learning. He instructed the students in the duty of resistance to Great Britain as earnestly as he did in that of obedience to God. Indeed, he regarded them as one and the same. And that's true, you know. Here in 1779, the college had recovered from the panic and had scattered the students into various towns in the interior and was in a prosperous condition. But in the midst of its tranquility, a rumor reached New Haven that General Tryon was preparing to make a descent upon it. The place was immediately thrown into great alarm, and a meeting was called to deliberate on what was to be done. Counsels were various as to the best courses to pursue, but Dr. Daggett declared that whatever else was determined upon, one thing was clear: the citizens must fight. Now, here, this pacifist preacher said that we would not have a chance against the government should this happen. Now, remember, when George Washington first put his army together, at first he had 300. Then he went from 300 men to 500 men. And when he had 500 men, he was actually in a battle with Britain, who had a standing army of 50,000 men.
And the strongest navy in the world.
Right. And so, but God, if God is on your side right now, remember those in those days, the pacifists, they called, well, Tories. Tories. And actually, they were really called traitor Tories. That was what they were, traitor
Tories. Doesn't Tory mean loyal to Britain?
Yeah, but traitor Tories mean traitor. That's what they were referred to. They were traitors against the new...
They were traitors to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness.
Right. And so they would say, your loyalty, we must obey King George. We must obey King George. Until the battle started turning, until it was evident that Providence, that God was on the side of General George. So after that happened, they switched. When it looked like George Washington and the Patriots were going to win the battle, then all of a sudden those very same traitor Tories were saying, we must support General George. We must support General George. So their loyalty wasn't very long-lasting. Then you had another one, is Ezra Stiles. Ezra Stiles, who succeeded Dr. Daggett as president of Yale College, forms a third in the illustrious trio of patriotic presidents that Yale can boast. Boy, you wouldn't find that today. What you would find is communist women. Communist women running those. That's what you have today. His far-reaching mind as early as 1760 seemed to foresee the struggle which would eventually take place between the colonies and England. In a sermon delivered at the time on the regeneration of Canada by the English, he used the following language: it is probable that in time there will be formed a provincial confederacy and a common council standing on free provincial suffrage, and this may be in time terminate an imperial diet, when the imperial dominion will subvert, as it ought to, in election. He lived to see the prophecy fulfilled in the Continental Congress. Okay, so here he was another one that, and then I'm just going to give you one more. And this fellow was, again, one of my favorites. He was a Baptist preacher. Not James Caldwell. No man was more deserving of a prominent place in the history of the Revolution than Reverend James Caldwell. He was born in the settlement of Chariot County, Virginia, called Cub Creek. He was the youngest of seven children. Well, it goes on and gives a good story, but he took his stand and he fought. He led the battles there during the War for Independence. And I know we often call it the Revolutionary War, but actually we should just call it the War for Independence, because that's what it was really about.
And that's the real point is what that Declaration of Independence that was read, that Aaron read, that's they did everything legally and lawful. They gave notice to England, and they tried to have England correct their errors. They gave them the time frame to do that, and when they failed to respond to that in the time frame of a legal notice, that's when the war for independence started. But they did everything legally and right. They weren't breaking the law. They did it according to the English laws.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That were two things that really triggered it. The first was when the British marched out of Boston and they went to Lexington and Concord to seize the weapons of the Minutemen. Now that was gun control, really, is what triggered it. And then when the British brought the Hessian, the German mercenaries, in to fight the colonists, that was like the final straw. That was the straw where they said, no, we're going to war now, when they brought in the mercenary.
Yeah, but they did do everything legally, giving a notice to England. And,
I can read that section of the Declaration of Independence.
Brother, when you read all of those articles, not the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, they laid it out. Laid it out.
Yeah, here's our complaints. Now correct those, please.
And here's what they wrote. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petition had been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of free people. Nor have we been wanting in attention to our British brethren. We have warned them from time to time of attempts by their legislature to extend an unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. We have reminded them of the circumstances of our emigration and settlement here. We have appealed to their native justice and magnanimity, and we have conjured them by the ties of our common kindred to disavow these usurpations, which would inevitably interrupt our connections and correspondence. They, too, have been deaf to the voice of justice and to consanguinity. We must, therefore, acquiesce in the necessity which denounces our separation, and hold them as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies of war and peace, friends.
And that's why you don't call it a revolutionary war. It was the war for independence. It was not a revolution. It was a war for independence.
What we're having now is we're in a revolution now. It's a communist revolution that's taking place in America right now today.
Yes, yes, we are.
Their
cultural Marxism.
That's exactly what we're having.
Well, Pastor Ernie, it's actually a hybrid, because the Muslims now, the Hamas wing of Islam, has joined up with the communists here to try and overthrow us.
Hmm.
So it's not just Marxism now. The communist,
they call that the red-green axis.
Yeah, well, they'll work with each other, and if they win, then they'll turn on each other, and so it goes. They're only allies in trying to destroy us.
Well, now they've come for the Jews, and if people do nothing, they're coming for the Christians next. In fact, that's already started. We're seeing that with the persecution of the January Sixers. We're seeing that with
that's terrible,
of homeschoolers. They're going after Christian schoolers. They're going after especially pro-lifers. We have a dozen pro-lifers that are facing 11 years in prison a corrupt judicial we have out there. Such a corrupt judicial.
Sheriff Hildebrand warned the people about the viciousness of these savage animals at October 7th in Israel. Yeah. So those people have no, I don't know if he specifically
And they're here, and again, you've seen and Hamas has already threatened. They say, we're here now, okay? And they said, we're going to burn your country down this summer.
They'd cut all their heads off and laugh about it.
They would, okay? And so, again, when we had the first meeting, we had all those people there. The place was standing room only. The main concern wasn't Hamas. The main concern wasn't Antifa. By the way, Antifa's got professional trainers now that these people are...
They're now doing the jihad.
Yeah. But the main concern of the people there was having their doors kicked in at 2 o'clock in the morning by the FBI. That was the main concern.
Well, so, that's another concern.
Yeah, we're at...
Both are bad.
We're, again... You know, the federal government has been weaponized against we, the people of the United States. And remember, Biden
Pastor
keeps...
Ernie,
yes?
Did you see with the judge in Florida on the President Trump's case? She unsealed all those documents about the FBI and their search warrant and all?
Yeah, it showed you what they did. How they?
That?
Yeah.
It's all staged. He literally, that guy Smith, is literally, now we knew it, but we've got evidence, he's literally a criminal, literally.
Sure he is.
To rearrange the evidence to frame President Trump. It's out in the documents.
And
now.
He's taking his orders right from Joe. He's getting his orders right from Joe Obama Biden. Obama Biden has said he would stop Trump. He's running corrupt. He's using the federal government to go out and register people to vote communist.
So where's the evidence going to go?
Well, to the Supreme Court?
The trial has been suspended.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's pretty bad when corrupt lawyers, when dirty lawyers refer to Jack Smith as Dirty Jack, because he's known to do whatever, to be totally lawless.
Okay. In Congress, those bums are using taxpayer dollars.
That federal judge, I can't think of her name. Is it Colleen or something like that?
You're talking about Cannon?
Anyways,
Cannon. It's Cannon.
Florida?
Her,
yeah, I know that.
Releasing the sealed information, he actually threatened her.
All right, John, you've got 6 minutes. Can you tell us how in 6 minutes we can avoid the lake of fire and how we can get to glory forever?
Well, Pastor Ernie, we covered some scriptures today that were pretty strong, and that one there in Matthew 25, I think verse 41 jumped out, and it said, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for Satan and his angels." And there is, folks, a real hell. It's not imaginary. It's not symbolic. Christ preached much about hell. He probably preached more about hell than he did heaven. And God, and the fact the scripture says that hell was not made for us, it was made for Satan and his angels. But when we rebelled, when mankind went into sin, then we were going to receive the same punishment as the devil and his angels. But God, in his mercy, loves us and wants to us not to have the penalty of sin on us in eternity, which means hell. And that is the basis, really, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you think about it, why did he have to suffer so intently on the cross? I mean, everything physically that we can see, we didn't see spiritually that what was happening because our sin was being placed on him. But physically, we could see what he endured on the cross. Why? Why? Well, that's because there is a literal hell. And he was taking, like, our full punishment for being separated from God in eternity in hell.
4 minutes.
So God has provided his remedy, his way of reconciling us to him. If we don't take God's way, the only way left is for people to give account of their own sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that's where the gospel comes in. Jesus was the sinless, only begotten Son of God, without sin. Therefore, he didn't need a Savior. Because he had no sin, he could save us. And so the way that we follow God's plan is by repentance. Repentance is an act of the will. It's an about-face, where we're living our own life separate from God. We're living in sin. Whatever it is, whatever sin we committed in the past, God will forgive every sin. Every sin will be forgiven if we come to Christ through repentance, believing that he died on the cross, shed his blood to pay the penalty for our sin. And then what happens is God places all the penalty for our sins on Christ, and he places Christ's righteousness in us. It's amazing, God's love, what he's done for us. And then, so we have to believe that. Then Christ, according to the gospel, he was buried, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead with the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit. So that is what we must believe to have eternal life in Christ. God will forgive everything. In fact, our salvation is so complete that we can refer to God as our Abba, Father, Daddy. Daddy God, Daddy Father God. It's offered for everyone. God is no respecter of persons. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So you are a host, whosoever is listening. And if you can confess Christ right now, have eternal life. And not only that, but when we confess Christ, the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit can be imparted in us, and we have
great 1 minute.
God's power will break. Excuse me, how much can stand?
1 minute.
Okay. So God's resurrection power can come and give you, you can walk in the newness of life through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in your life. It's available right now, folks. You don't have to wait. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Please don't go into eternity separated from God into a horrible place by hell. God wants you into eternity with him as your Abba Father. Okay, Pastor Ernie.
Amen. Very good. I want to say to all the ladies out there, so many of you listening to us, may this be your best Mother's Day ever for all of you mothers out there. And all of you that aren't mothers, you had a mother. So, again, happy Mother's Day, rather, to all of you. May it be a blessed Mother's Day. Well, we're there tonight, as we get to every night at this time. So all you folks out there listening, we say to you, God bless you. We really do. Like, you know, like President Trump says all the time, God bless America. And God bless his people. And then we say, good night. And then we say, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
I'm with my friend Bill Gardner of Empire Window.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.